Hey, Happy Friday. This week we got nutrition labels for phones, 7,000 and 8,000 milliamp-hour batteries became the new normal in China, and the Google trial revealed some interesting information. Welcome to the Friday Checkout. This video was sponsored by Incogni. Okay, for my first story of the week, after the EU enforced USB-C on all the phone makers and tablet makers, now comes the next big thing, labels. Starting on the 20th of June 2025, all smartphones and tablets sold in the EU will have to have a label that will indicate battery life and efficiency, durability, repairability, and more, all using a standardized system, and that will look exactly like this. Here you see a quoted battery life in hours and minutes based on a standardized test. Then you have a rank from A to E for repeated free fall repairability class, which is basically a drop test score for durability, which includes tests like surviving 45 1-meter drops without reduced functionality. Then next there is battery endurance in a cycles or cycle life with a number provided, with a new minimum that is set at least 800 full charge discharge cycles with 80% capacity retention. Then there's a repairability rating that goes from A to E as well. And finally, an IP rating, which is already pretty well standardized. And all of these are obviously designed to make it much easier for consumers to compare devices at a glance. The EU makes some of their testing cycles public, such as this one for the battery, which includes cycles of phone calls, idle, web browsing, streaming, gaming, data transfer, and so on, in a repeated manner. I guess there'll now be a lot of companies who will specialize on optimizing their devices for these new benchmarks, but overall, this seems like a good idea. And now, beside the labels, new rules will also mandate that phone makers provide critical spare parts and repair information for at least 7 years, plus also to ensure that their devices are designed for easier disassembly and repair, hindering which will be prohibited. And device makers will also have to disclose scarce mineral use, such as cobalt, in their batteries. So how good all of this will turn out to be will depend on the implementation, but in theory, all of this sounds pretty good on paper. For now, this will only be mandatory for devices sold in the EU, but all the information, all the data, all the repair manuals and everything should be available outside of the EU as well, I guess, so it might benefit everyone. Alright, and talking of cool developments, it seems like in China, 7,000 or even 8,000 mAh batteries are now going to be the new normal. Already this week, the Realme GT7 launched in China, and it has some pretty bonkers specs, including a 7,200 mAh battery, which is pretty wild for a phone with a normal thickness that costs about $355. Then another phone that launched this week was the Realme Turbo 4 Pro, which is not only the first phone to launch with a Qualcomm Snapdragon 8s Gen 4 chipset and with a pretty bonkers price tag below $300, but the phone also has a massive 7,550 mAh silicon carbon battery with 90 watt charging, which can hilariously also be used as a power bank. You might remember that just last week I mentioned Honor announcing the Honor Power with a huge 8,000 mAh battery and a super high 821 watt hours per liter density. And now the famous leaker Digital Chat Station on Weibo said that 7,000 to 7,500 mAh will be the new normal for flagships this year, while 8,000 will be the new normal for mid-range devices. Absolutely bonkers. And these are not special edition devices, they're not ultra thick or anything, they look completely normal, and yet their batteries, which use silicon carbon anodes, can now be up to almost twice as big as those that we're used to over here. Pretty crazy. With Apple and Samsung both not adopting this tech this year and both going for ultra slim devices, I wonder how they actually plan to compete against this Chinese onslaught. Okay, and for my third story of the week, we got two pretty interesting new details out of the court trial of Google. First is that there's a pretty good chance that the judge on the case will agree with the Department of Justice to force Google to actually separate Chrome from Google itself. And this has led to headlines like, quote, OpenAI wants to buy Chrome and make it an AI-first experience, and also, Perplexity wants to buy Chrome if Google has to sell it. And I mean, this is not a surprise because they could instantly use Chrome to push their own services. A quick Google search says that Chrome has something like 3.5 billion users, while ChatGPT has something closer to 400 million weekly users, so clearly Chrome would be a huge opportunity for bundling. DuckDuckGo's CEO even made some quick math and reckoned that Chrome alone is worth upwards of $50 billion. So splitting that off would be a huge deal, but that's not all, because the case also revealed that OpenAI also really dislikes using Bing. Bloomberg reports that OpenAI's ChatGPT chief said that their relationship with their provider number one, which we can extremely confidently assume is Bing, had significant quality issues and that the search information from that provider was not good enough. It became clear over time that it was not viable to depend on another company in the long run and that it was at best a near-term solution. Being called not viable is pretty brutal, and I love these court documents because they show us how companies actually think instead of the public marketing messages, which are often heavily beautified. Anyway, OpenAI is of course working on its own search index, but it's taking more like years to build that, so it will not likely be around for a while, and even then, we don't know if it will be any good. Oh well. Alright, and moving on to our release monitor, we'll start with Motorola, who launched a big lineup of new Razer flip phones with three new models, starting at $700 for the standard, $1,000 for the Plus, and all the way up to $1,300 for the Ultra model. The Ultra has a Snapdragon 8 Elite chipset, a pretty sizable 4,700 mAh battery, a dedicated AI button, plus there's also a really nice looking wood finish for those who are into this kind of stuff. Next, OnePlus launched the 13T in China, which has a Snapdragon 8 Elite chip, as well as a bigger battery, and compared to the 13, it only has a few small downgrades for a more aggressive price. And also this week, I got a review unit of the brand new Insta360 X5, and I found three big changes versus the X4. First, you can now not only use lens guards that you can screw on, but you can actually replace the actual main lens with a DIY kit yourself, which is nice. Second, the image quality, if you're not outside with perfect sunlight, is significantly improved, including much better colors, clarity, and dynamic range. And third, the price also went up from $499 to $549, which is $50 extra. As usual, links to all the products are down in the description, and now onto the brief, which we start with two leaks from Samsung. First, the Galaxy S25 Edge reportedly has a new leaked launch day, and it's the 13th of May, with US availability reportedly starting on the 30th of May, so in about a month. Second, there's also a leaked launch date for the next Galaxy Flip and Fold, and that is for the first week of July. Nice! Then also this week, Meta started rolling out live translations to all Ray-Ban smart glasses, and this will apparently even work without an internet connection if you download a language pack in advance. Sounds useful if you don't mind Zuck training his AI on your conversations. Then moving on, Chinese company CATL showed off a new EV battery, which they claim can add 520 kilometers of range in 5 minutes. This supposedly even beats BYD's announcement of 400 kilometers from just a few weeks ago, and it means a charging speed of 1.3 megawatts at peak, so that in 30 seconds you'll be able to get 75 kilometers or about 46 miles of range. Almost 50 miles in half a minute, that is insane. 1.3 megawatts is about 4 times as fast as the really fast chargers over here, and I doubt that many grids will be able to put out this multiple times over in parallel if you want to charge multiple cars at the same time, so I don't think this will be very common, but still pretty insane. Oh, and there's also a new sodium ion battery cell from CATL now in production too, which is the battery chemistry that, among other things, promises to let us create really tough batteries that can even be deformed. Then also this week, Apple and Meta were hit with their first fines under the European Union's Digital Markets Act for a combined total of $800 million. The fines were actually lower than expected, and they were probably set that way so as to not annoy Trump too much. Apple was punished for not making alternative app stores easy enough to use, while Meta was punished for not making it easy enough to opt out of data collection. Both Apple and Meta, of course, said that they were outraged, and a White House spokesperson called this a novel form of economic extortion, so I guess we'll see what happens. Then, in more corporate shenanigans, Discord confirmed that it was moving towards becoming a public company as it hired a former Activision executive as its new CEO. A lot of people in my Discord said that they don't like this because they expect Discord to get a lot more thirsty about monetizing everything for the stonks. And talking of monetizing everything, Google announced that it will not ditch third-party cookies in Chrome after all, unlike they originally planned. It seems like their alternatives called Privacy Sandbox and Flock are apparently dead in the water because people thought that they gave Google too much power. And talking of privacy issues, just a few days ago we learned from a public filing that Conduent, a company that handles loads of US government-related payments, had a cybersecurity incident that leaked a significant number of individuals' personal information. This company handles things like government child support payments, so that's super reassuring, I guess. And this is a really good reminder that your online data is constantly being hacked, lost, bought and sold either on purpose or by accident. This data is then used for anything from simple spam to sophisticated personal phishing emails that become increasingly hard to spot, or even for making profiles of you in people search databases by shady actors who are often so-called data brokers. That's creepy, but my sponsor Incogni was specifically built to combat these. Because, as it turns out, in these countries at least, data brokers are legally required to delete your information if you ask them. Which is what Incogni does for you. You can see that in my case, they found over 160 databases that I was in and have successfully removed me from most of them already. That is an insane figure. Now, of course you could do most of this yourself, but it would require you to find all of these data brokers yourself to deal with their objections and also periodically check in with them to see if they haven't just added you back after they deleted you. That just isn't very practical, but Incogni does all of this continually on your behalf and in the background with a subscription. They support multiple email addresses and 3 physical addresses with a single subscription, plus they also have family plans. Now, the removal only necessarily works in places that have legal frameworks around it, but that's a pretty good selection already. To sign up, be sure to use my code FRIDAYCHECKOUT to get an exclusive 60% off an annual Incogni plan. That is incogni.com/FRIDAYCHECKOUT for 60% off, and I'll see you next Friday.